Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The only podcast that gives you up-to-date movie reviews the fucking second that they happen. Sometimes.
Yeah, we're not always as close as we should be. Yeah, because this will come out like 2 weeks after the movie's been out.
That's good, though, because then you can fucking go see it, you idiots.
You know what? I think if we stick to the release dates, I think this comes out Justice League Day.
Oh, tight.
So perfect timing, right?
Sure.
To celebrate another comic book movie, we're going to talk about a different comic book movie on this podcast.
By completely different fucking makers.
Very different styles, very different tones. Yes, just polar opposite.
Sure.
But we will be talking about Thor.
The Dark World.
Wait. The Dark World. Yes, the good one.
The good one.
We'll remember, you know, that second one.
I'm surprised, after two fucking completely disappointing Thor movies, that we got actual sequels. You're shaking your head.
I disagree. I think, All right. So one, I think Thor 1 is completely underrated. It did the very, very hard thing of setting up a fucking Asgardian god who shares Norse roots into a grounded universe with Tony Stark. Because this came out before Captain America 2.
Yeah.
This was like a giant leap into fantasy. And I think Kenneth Branagh handled the tone very well. That said, did not shoot the movie well, and the fight scenes were really anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But the fish out of water comedy really works.
Okay.
Thor the Dark World, and this I heard today, and I really like this analogy, is Thor the Dark World is just like a really bad 80s movie that's kind of fun in spite of itself. And Thor Ragnarok is one of the best 80s movies of all time.
Yes, okay. Now we're on point. Now I'm agreeing.
Yeah, so Thor the Dark World's a bad 80s, like the Legend. It's like a bad Legend. It's fantasy 80s movie.
Don't you compare it to Legend. Legend is fucking awesome.
No, I'm saying it's a bad version of that.
Okay. A bad version of Legend. Now I get you.
But it's still enjoyable. It's still enjoyable.
I swear, maybe I need to watch Dark World again, because I did not enjoy Dark World or the first one.
Roy from IT crowd shows up to get some comedic bits. Like, there's some really... that's the thing. I think this is the one, like, in order to enjoy Thor the Dark World, you have to like the comedy they present you, because that's about it. Otherwise, you get boilerplate villain story, completely forgettable, just wants to destroy universe because...
I thought you were talking about Boiler Room, like that Vin Diesel, Vince Vaughn movie.
Just like Boiler Room. Malekith, total Vin Diesel here. Just, what is he doing? Also, how many people knew that Malekith was the villain from Thor the Dark World?
None.
Nobody.
None.
Because it's totally forgettable garbage.
You,
because
I didn't even know that.
This is only because Malekith is actually, like, a fun, interesting character in the book. Much closer to Loki in spirit and tone.
Yeah.
And here, he's just... it just... you know, somber, sullen, talking villain who wants to destroy things because, like, I'm a dark elf. I want to bring darkness.
Let's diverge real quick. What, in your opinion, is the worst and most boring villain in the MCU to date?
Malekith comes up real close.
Yes.
Most boring villain.
Just don't care.
I think it's Malekith, though I think you could also give a nod to Yellowjacket in Ant-Man.
Okay.
I only give him a little bit of credit because he goes like crazy with it a little bit. Malekith is just kind of the same dull, flat tone the entire movie. There's nothing. But with Corey Stoll as Yellowjacket, he has moments. Like him,
yeah, he does have moments.
Right? So, I give him more credit. I think it is Malekith. Do you have somebody who's worse?
Yeah, I think so. I can't even think of even more boring and droll than Malekith is the dude from Civil War.
No,
yeah,
Zemo?
Dude, he
had a fucking reason for it. Like,
but it's so
thing.
Dumb, and he's so just blah, and
no.
He's so forgettable. Like, he's background and right. ancillary. Like, you don't even care about him because you're worried about the fucking fight. Yeah, you are.
Civil War starts now on Experience Grind. What? All right, so whatever. We're going to respectfully disagree here. That's jokes, guys. That's showbiz jokes.
Showbiz. You're behind a curtain there.
But I so disagree with you because he's a fascinating character because he actually ties in thematically to the story. It's about grief and loss and like dealing with like
that. I agree with you, but at the end, he's very forgettable.
He's forgettable only yes. because he's not like dressed up or flamboyant or
and
some
to,
shit.
Yeah,
like,
and that kind
but,
of
like,
I think detracts from it.
He's a more meaningful, well thought out. Like his plan actually made sense. And it worked. He's like one of the few Marvel
it does work.
Whose plans
which,
work.
Which is even more of a disappointment that he's so forgettable.
God damn it.
Even
that's it. Like, what? All right, so the only thing, here's the thing. You put that fucking purple mask on him.
You don't even need
be,
the purple mask.
It. He'll be more memorable, but that's, yeah. that's it. There's just no flash.
He doesn't need
to
the
it.
Purple
he's
mask, but
human
he needs.
Character.
There needed to be something more, because even Andy Serkis is more memorable. And I don't know if it's maybe even just the actor that they have portraying it. But, like, even it, like, Andy Serkis comes back.
Well, they're very different tones. You gotta remember, too, that Civil War is essentially an extension of Captain America Winter Soldier, which are more straight-faced films with very
sure,
straight,
sure.
realistic villains. Like, Robert Redford and Zemo here, I can't think of the actors, Daniel Brühl, like, they're very similar in tone. Like, they're both a little forgettable because they don't really amount to much, but like they are the human threats. Like, and that's what those movies are about, like humanity versus the Avengers and superheroes in general and all that stuff. And so it all fits. Every single other villain in the Marvel universe is more cartoony and more ridiculous and a little over the top. Like, you're talking about fucking
Claw.
Thanos?
No, you just said his name. I can't think of the actor. Andy Serkis.
Oh, Andy Serkis.
His
yeah.
name just completely slipped my mind.
Sorry.
You're talking about Andy Serkis. He was in Age of Ultron, which Joss Whedon did, and did not do like serious, realistic villains. Like Ultron's like wisecracking, silly, not threatening at all. Like,
and also one
cheesy.
Of my favorite villains. I love Ultron.
Oh my god.
I think
he
it's
is the worst.
I think it's a lot of.
But
it.
He's not the Malekith is the worst because there is nothing interesting there. What they did with the Ultron was very interesting. I just did not like
well,
it.
Well, and the fucking voice acting of James Spader brings a lot to Ultron. He's having a lot of fun with it, and that's what makes Ultron stand out. Like,
I agree. I think ultimately the art direction kills Ultron for me.
Yes, sure, sure.
You give Spader the same voice, the same body as like when he first shows up, and it's that like degraded Ultron that mouth doesn't move. It's just like a Tony Stark armor shell. That's creepy. That's sinister. That fucking works. Like, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
Then to make him, like, the Transformer with all the moving parts and, like, the
yep.
cartoony
yep.
CG teeth and glowing eyes. Fuck it. I'm out. This is a cartoon character at this point. Like, there's no threat. And that's it. That's why I hold back on Ultron.
I'd like to
Spader,
see him.
Great. I love Spader's the idea great. Of giving him, like, the Tony Stark smart.
Yeah.
That all makes sense thematically.
I would like to see, you know, they haven't done it yet. I would really enjoy James Woods as a Marvel villain.
Ooh.
Like, voicing one, similar to Spader. I don't think he could physically pull off the role, but I would enjoy James Woods in a villain role.
I would, too. Here you go. Norman Osborn in the new
Fuck,
Spider-Man.
Man, if they get... Dude, that would be a great get.
Wouldn't that be dope?
That would fucking be
that's
dope
good.
As shit, dude.
I mean, I think that Willem Dafoe...
It's great.
It's perfect as Norman Osborn, not necessarily the Green Goblin and how they went that way. But James Woods could do something just as interesting, I think.
I think so too, man. I would really like to see that.
Yeah. I think do you have anything like James Woods, who could you cast? Who would you cast?
As James Woods?
Yeah, in the Marvel universe for like a villain. Who would be a good fit for James Woods?
If we're doing vocally shit. I see, like, Spider-Man villains a lot. Mr. Mysterio, he could have a lot of fun with.
Oh, Mysterio's a great one. I still hold hope that they bring Bruce Campbell back as Mysterio.
Of course.
And then you could say, like, oh, that was because, you know, you science bullshit. Magic.
There's a lot James Woods could do. I don't know, man. Like even like a CGI rhino.
Yeah, I like this.
Could be really good.
I just had a mind-blowing thought.
Yeah, go ahead. Please, take it off.
Bruce Campbell was not featured in Spider-Man Homecoming at all. Big kind of disappointment for me. I was really hoping like he might have like a cameo as like, a teacher. Make him the janitor in school, whatever. Like, give him something. Here's what you do, Marvel Studios. Make him Uncle Ben.
Oh, so he dies in the flashback?
Yeah, you can bring him back. That'd be a great way to call back the Sam Raimis in a little way. And plus, Bruce Campbell's great. You could have, like, some really funny scenes of him giving Peter advice in a flashback because that would fit, like, the comedic tone of the Spider-Man movies. Do that. That's a winner idea. You take
I like
that.
That.
You yeah, take that.
I'd take that.
Guess what, guys? I have ideas of Marvel. I really do.
Marvel's going to take him, and then we're going to sue them.
Man, I wish they would.
That's the thing.
I wish they would.
Just so we could sue them?
No, because we have... then we'd get it right. Like, yeah, I know how to... But I am one of the few people like the Mandarin twist.
I did like that too. So this is just us again. James Woods, who would you like to see him do?
Well, you said Rhino. I think that's pretty interesting.
Rhino would be because it's kind of outside the wheelhouse, but I think it could be done.
Well, if Marvel's gonna go the cosmic route, I could see him being like a good voice for like a Nihilus or something. Maybe if they had King the Conqueror, but I don't know if that's tied to Fantastic Four, right? But, like, any kind of one of those celestial imposing people. Or, fuck it, even make King the Conqueror just, like, another weird Benicio del Toro, Jeff Goldblum celestial type of person.
Sure.
That same kind of style.
Sure.
And make him King the Conqueror, but give him, like, a helmet. Fucking, that's cool.
Or,
I'd like to see James Wood being old James Wood weird.
What's the fucking ape dude? Or that's DC, though. That's DC.
Oh, Gorilla Grodd?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's DC.
That could be really good, too, though.
That could work.
Yeah.
I don't know if DC will ever get to the point where they're going to be silly enough to have a talking gorilla.
They should, though. God
or
damn
a
it.
Psychic gorilla, not talking. They should. DC is fun when it gets weird and stupid.
They better fucking throw Martian Manhunter in this Justice League, even for a fucking reference.
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they will.
You might get like a Green Lantern reference. I don't think we're going to get a Green Lantern.
I would
Lantern,
like James Woods as Sinestro.
He would be good.
He would be really good
if
as Sinestro.
If they could like do the Marvel de-aging effect on his face,
yeah.
I think he could fucking be Sinestro, absolutely.
Throw some fucking red and a mustache on that
or
face.
Or do a CG character that's just like, it's like Ruffalo on the Hulk, but like
or
Woods
like
on
Cumberbatch as Smaug. Where you get the performance, you capture that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you throw the digital on top of it. Yeah, I think you'd do a good Sinestro. Yeah. If we're going all out, any fucking comic book era. I love that we're giving James Woods career advice.
Woods could be Watu, the main Watcher, because we've not yet to hear a Watcher speak.
I don't know if James Woods
Marvel.
Could do
But he could.
He could.
It'd be so dope to see like that big, intimidating, giant fucking head
come
of man.
Out and just and do
just
that.
James Woods being like James Woods without any effect.
Okay, I would like to see
that. So, just like you know that kind of very calm tone coming out. He only shows up for emergencies, and it's just, all right, hey, you Avengers, you got a.
So here,
emergency.
Here's the thing to take away. I think Ryan and I both really like James Woods.
Surprisingly, we came to this.
Yeah.
Though I often get him confused with Roy Scheider. So I think he gets, like, a lot of credit for that.
Sure.
Roy Scheider. Scheider? Not Rob Schneider.
Not Rob Schneider. Roy Scheider.
I want to make very clear.
You don't want
Rob Schneider
anywhere near DC or MCU.
Yeah.
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 No, James
unless
Woods.
He, like, plays a corpse or something.
Okay.
I'll take a Rob
totally
Schneider.
Totally James
course.
Woods. Love James Woods. Love fucking James Spader.
James Spader's great. Yeah.
Is it both James? Is that where we came off on this? Okay.
We fucking answered.
Speaking of James, let's talk about Thor. That's the best segue ever, right? You like that?
Well, James is really close to Jane, who is his love interest, but not in this movie.
Thank God she's gone.
Yeah,
Natalie Portman.
Really,
God, just.
They just really did not use her well.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Natalie Portman's fault, but goddamn, it's just the fucking worst. I don't care. Get it out of here. You're not doing anything cool with it.
It's weird to have two such beautiful people have so little chemistry together. It's like, look at you, fucking manly man of all men, and look at you, goddess of
Women with great asses.
Thank you.
Hashtag Busta. She did in Your Highness. That
she and if Closer. That was, did you see Closer with Clive Owen and Jude Law?
And also in Black Swan when she totally gets dirty with Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
She shows that booty.
Now I'm just thinking about that Closer theme.
Oh,
just on repeat in my head at all times.
What we're trying to say is we're both really like Natalie Portman.
But they had no chemistry. They just didn't work together. It was,
and they used Kat Dennings a lot to like fill it. Man, I don't like Kat Dennings.
She's
okay in the Thor movies, which is weird because she's not great.
She felt a little bit, this I'll give you kind of credit for the two Thor previous movies being weak, was it felt like in the Michael Bay movie, the one comedic actor that's there only for comedic relief, like, does nothing.
Who's the Jesus?
Nothing. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like when John Turturro pops up in a Transformers movie, or Alan Tudyk, it's like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing. Who's the hangover guy?
Both? I don't know. Which one?
The guy from Community, Ken Jeong.
Oh,
when
Ken Jeong.
When he pops up in the third one, it's just like, oh, what the fuck are we doing? That's how I felt about Kat Dennings.
Both Thor movies had fucking Stellan Skarsgård, and they still are like, well,
he does some great things.
Yeah, he sure does.
And Thor
doesn't
the Dark
save
World,
either of those
he
movies.
He gets to be naked running around like a madman. Yeah. And Stone, that's fantastic use of Stellan Skarsgård.
That doesn't save the movies, though.
It makes them enjoyable. It makes them dumb.
For like 5 minutes.
Those movies are fun for one watch, and then you can be done.
Okay, so we're agreeing.
Yeah,
fun
you
for
it
one.
Once, it was fun. You don't
never
want to
see it again.
You don't need
to.
I don't think there's anything really there that sets up anything. By the time you get to Avengers, you know all the relationships with the characters.
Let's break it and bring it back. I can't wait to watch Thor Ragnarok again.
Yeah, I might go again this weekend.
I really wanted to go. This is the only other movie I would see again in theaters.
The
last
being
one,
Blade Runner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that again immediately.
I did not.
I know you didn't, but I would see Thor Ragnarok again, even though they. So here's my complaint with Ragnarok.
Oh, shit, we're just gonna start off with complaint.
It's not a big one.
Kind of like I love this movie, but
you're gonna know what I mean.
Big
so
shit stain.
It's the same problem that you get into with Superman. Hulk has these really weird varying power levels. Right? So, like, in Ragnarok, I feel he's way less powerful than he is in even the first Avenger, where he fucking takes down one of those snake things by himself. Now he has even difficulty going head-to-head against Fenrir. And, like, Thor kicks his ass pretty...
Granted.
I get that it's
that
a Thor
giant
movie.
That log thing in Avengers was not even a fucking big threat. Like, Tony Stark took one down. Like, they didn't do anything... Really think about it. They didn't attack. They didn't do fucking anything. They were just like giant transport. He jumps on essentially a transport and beats up a transport.
And throws it into a building.
Is a magical fucking wolf from like ancient medieval
time. Fucking wolf.
I'm getting into this shit now. How dare you?
He does suplexes, but again, like... And that's fucking great. He suplexes fucking Fenrir via the mouth, which is awesome.
He is also... You're speaking of his power levels being weak in this movie. He's also the gladiator champion of a planet where he's been killing dude after dude after dude after
but
dude.
But they imply that even if he's getting beat, the fucking Jeff Goldblum presses the button and makes them all weak and he kills them anyways.
Not necessarily.
So but you don't know.
No, we do know. And that's the thing. Thor is such a badass, he won. And that's it. He's the first person to win. That's Jeff Goldblum. When Thor starts winning, looks like he's never fucking seen this before. Like, this is the first time, and it's a panic to get to a button. It's not like something like he has ready to go, he just knows. That dude is panicked and scared because for the first time, somebody took down the Hulk. That's it. Hulk has been super powerful all along.
I really like in the Avengers too when Hulk and Thor fight. It's different because Thor holds his own but still gets... overpowered.
It's a much more serious fight in the Avengers
too.
And I think that adds to your point, what you're trying to say. I think that kind of influences it, you know?
Well, and they imply that for 2 years Hulk's been on this planet doing nothing but training and fighting people, and Thor comes out of nowhere And I do admit, like, he doesn't turn the tide really till he becomes the God of Thunder.
Sure.
Or Lord of Thunder, if we want to play with it a little bit.
God of Sparkles.
Yes. which I really like when they put that into effect in Thor. And I get, at the end of the day, this is Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
But a lot of the media and hype pairs it as the Thor Hulk buddy movie.
It is and it isn't.
And as a Hulk super ultra fanboy, I was just kind of, again, like, come on.
There's still a lot of Hulk in this movie. Yes. If it's a 2 hour and 20 minute movie, I'd say a good hour of that, if not more, is with the Hulk. You just have the beginning and in some parts in the middle. That's it. But, like, it is a Thor movie, so you kind of have to wrap up those ties with the previous ones real quick at the beginning. You have to explain why Loki put Odin where Odin is, what Odin's been up to, and you have to establish Hela and why she's a threat to Asgard. So you do have to, like, get a bunch of stuff out there.
Fucking Hela,
but
man.
Once you get to Sakaar, like, it's Hulk there for the rest of the ride. Like,
yeah.
So, and I think Sakaar happens, like, only 30 minutes into the movie.
I don't know. I thought it was like 45, but sure.
It could be 45 before Hulk shows up. Sure, yeah. Maybe Thor gets his Sakaar like a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and then there's all the warm up and introduction.
Yeah, you get that, so much stuff. That's great. But going back to the Hulk, I think it is the lightness of the tone in this one.
It's
a little sillier.
And you're gonna have that
comedy more than an action movie.
And you're gonna have that with a character like the Hulk and like Superman, mm-hmm. where even in the comics, like from issue to issue, the things that they're able to do vary.
It just depends on the writer, or in the case of the movie, the director.
Yes.
And that's what this feels like. It feels like in a run of a comic where you're reading like, oh, this is Claremont's run of the X-Men, I'm gonna read this. And then it switches to the new writer, and whoa, this character's not acting quite like she used to, or this guy, he doesn't do that typically. Because the writers bring in different things. That happens all the time in comics. So you get used to it.
Yeah.
So, like, when it shifts here, it's like, again, oh, no, I'm cool.
Damn. And I understand it. It's
This is Taika's version of Hulk. Like,
which,
I'm cool with it.
I'm still very cool with it, too.
Yeah, okay. So even though it is just, like, the inconsistency, you're still okay with
it,
though?
As I have established, too, you know, I think I'm a huge fucking Hulk fanboy. So when things get a little differently from my perceived perfect version, it's unfair. I fully admit, and I wear my heart under my sleeve. So I'm just saying that. But I do feel, even looking at it objectively, there is that weird, the power levels are in flux. So again, small minor complaint.
All right.
Hulk is fucking fantastic for the most part in all of this movie.
Do you have any other complaints? Or nitpicks?
Pacing is a bit weird.
Really?
I thought, there's all this, because primarily this movie takes place on Sakaar, mm-hmm. but the focus is on Asgard.
Sure.
So once we finally get back to Asgard, things happen lightning quick, and then movie ends.
That's true. The final, is that the final act? I guess that's the final act. The final act is much shorter than the second act.
Yes, it is.
The second act, which I guess the first act would be everything up till Sakaar. It's like 30, 40 minutes. And I think that second act is like an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final third act, which is them getting back to Asgard, 25 to 30 minutes.
Yep.
Right?
So
it's a weird structure. But
and we also have
okay with that.
The fantastic Cate Blanchett, which I think is an amazing part of this entire movie. It ends up, again, also becoming a little underutilized.
And interesting,
I hope that she is not done.
Yeah.
Because I would really like to see Hela back.
They don't show a death.
They do not, which is great.
I think if they are smart, and I think they will do this, Thanos is obsessed with death. Hela is a goddess of death. So you don't do the literal interpretation of death like they do in Marvel Comics, where he's literally in love with the skeleton of Lady Death. Like, no. Make him in love with Hela, and then you can bring her back in Infinity War.
And then you get Josh Brolin and Cate Blanchett playing off each other, which
it's
going to
be great, right?
Great. Also, how do you kill death? You don't.
Yeah, that's true, too.
She's got to come back.
Yeah, it's like Thor and any of these magical beings. Like, they don't die, right? What's crazy, they never die.
God damn it.
Odin has died 5 times in the comics, I think. Like, yeah. He keeps dying over and over again and coming back. Like, it doesn't matter.
Man, like, not even in a bad way. Fucking Kate Blanchett eats up the screen when she's on it. She blows
every scene.
And it's great.
And it works, yeah.
Yeah. She blows Chris Hemsworth out of the water.
Ooh.
She fucking just eats it. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
I'll tell you what, coming out of this, Chris Hemsworth's not my favorite character. But of the ones we've talked about so far, he is. I preferred him to the Hulk. I preferred him to Hela.
Oh, I did too.
Preferred him to Loki.
Chris Hemsworth had a lot of fun in this movie.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been like, fuck yeah, Thor might be my favorite now. Like, yeah. How did this happen?
And also, I found out that, like, they did, statistics are stupid bullshit. Like, 80% of this movie was improv.
Yeah.
Which, so Taika Waititi can handle it way better than Kevin Feige,
yeah.
I will say.
Feige.
Whatever. So, yeah, he did a way better job of understanding on when to adapt it and when to let people do things and run with it.
Well, it just, I don't know, because here's the thing. Kevin Feige made a very, and I don't say he made, but he influenced, the Thor that came before was very comic appropriate. Like, it was the Thor from the comics. He is kind of wooden. He is a wooden...
You're talking about Dark World?
Dark World, Thor from Avengers. He's okay. The straight man that everybody plays off of because he's kind of dull and boring. This is why Thor books aren't the most fun to read.
Sure.
They only just get better now by, like, giving the Thor mantle to somebody else and making Thor unworthy and giving him shit to do. But, like, he's always been kind of just a dullard. And, like, he's only the beast that shows up for, like, big events to fight. Like, he's... the Hulk opponent. Like,
yeah.
That's the only reason he's around. But
he's
like,
a god.
His
he's
books
a
were
fucking
always,
god.
Like, he was always the least interesting part of his book. In my opinion. So I think, by that standard, I think they did a great job with him by at least giving him some stuff to do. Like, the dry delivery of, like, your brother killed everybody. Stepbrother. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, in the Avengers, like, that worked. Or, like, I don't get that reference. Or something like that. You know, like, they were able to play with him a little bit. I thought that was perfectly fine. What Chris Hemsworth does here is very, 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 very different from the comic. But it is a very, very good choice. And
yes,
I think the best choice
yes,
I could have done.
Yes. And I wonder if, too, like, if it's the... what do I want to say? How do I want to say this? The regional... aspects of like the Taika Waititi
sure.
and the Chris Hemsworth versus like so many of the American and North American. So like Captain America is Canadian in real life.
Sure, Chris
you know,
Evans. Yeah,
Chris Evans is Canadian, but like things like that compared to like Chris Hemsworth is
Australian.
English or Australian.
He's Australian.
And
yeah.
Taika Waititi is New Zealand, which
yeah.
is fucking right there, and like they kind of get each other more. And
yeah.
So
well, I don't know. If you're to believe what you hear, Australia and New Zealand kind of have like a little competition.
A little rivalry,
right?
Sure, but
it's like Korea and Japan. Like,
sure,
just,
but if you're going up against, like, it's like, oh, you're my mate, right? I mean, fuck these Yanks, huh? I mean, sure,
it's
sure
the
we
enemy
go.
Of the enemy
yeah,
is my friend,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of that. Like they get each other. They know even they're fucking neighbors. They know the mannerisms of
mm-hmm.
each other, and so they. They fucking work well together.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. If you saw, right around the Civil War time, they did Taika Waititi, I think. With
all
the,
these
the
short
Daryl
things.
Daryl shorts with, like,
yeah.
Thor and his new
roommate.
Australian roommate,
yeah.
Daryl. And just the humor in those, I was like, that's hilarious. I wish we could have a movie with that kind of sense of humor. This is that movie. Like,
yeah.
somehow they've worked that humor into the Marvel Universe. And it works. It fits. Like, it fits perfectly.
Well, I think it was helped a lot by the two Guardians movies.
It did, because I think it gave them the boldness to go out and
the
try
boldness
to do something
and the ridiculousness.
Different.
Like, just fucking
we
shoot the moon,
colorful.
Man.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter. We
shoot the moon, man.
Silly.
Who
yeah.
cares?
Mm-hmm.
Make fucking Flash Gordon
yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
It'll work. And that, again, that's the thing that I love about the MCU and Disney, mm-hmm. which is weird compared to like what they've done with Star Wars, where they don't want anybody taking risks.
Yeah.
But in MCU, they're like, you know what? You have the vision. Go for it.
Right. It's the difference between Kathleen Kennedy and Kevin Feige. Like, Kevin Feige's letting these people go. Like, make their fucking movies.
Because he still produced Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. He's still producing all of these movies.
Yeah.
Like, Black Panther looks like it's going to be something very different in tone than what we've had before.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was like a very different take in Spider-Man. Guardians is very different.
Guardians 2
had a fucking planet as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is absurd, silly bullshit. But, like, it works because they believe in it and they care. And they like, take it seriously in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, they do. And...
But
you can just tell there's respect and appreciation with each one. And so, like, there are these jokes in Thor Ragnarok, but, like, there's also fucking Fenris from the comics, and, like, Scourge is there, and, like, his arc is, like, pretty much the same as it is in the comics. Like, it's all there, like, this attention to detail. They borrow a lot from Planet Hulk.
And the Apocalypse storyline.
It's a mishmash of Planet Hulk and Ragnarok. And I think they take the elements that work and just kind of tweak them so they mesh together. And I think it all works.
Yeah.
Like, Korg and Meek, however you say his name.
Meek.
They're in this movie. So they are from Planet Hulk. They're very different.
Very different. And I think they work so much better.
But for the better. Yeah, absolutely.
I saw a post on Reddit. Somebody was talking about how Korg should really sound. And they played one of the Marvel like cartoon movies. Korg sounds such like a fucking generic tough guy.
Yeah.
And goddamn what Taika Waititi does with Korg. He's the best character, man. He's
so funny.
Yes.
He gets the best lines. I know people will come away and be like, oh, when Hulk comes out and it's, oh, he's a friend from work. I know him. And then Loki looks at him and Loki gets scared. Like, oh, it's so great.
When
Loki appears and then disappears in a room and Korg comes running from off screen, he's like, piss off, ghost!
Yeah.
And just like these small little touches, like, that's the best.
Do you want to use this wooden fork? It's really only effective if you had like three vampires standing in a group, but you could really use it, mate, huh? Korg is fucking awesome!
You want to join the revolution? So far only my mom and her boyfriend has joined.
I hate that guy.
I hate that man.
I fucking love Korg,
he's
dude.
He's the best.
And Meek is also fucking great for, like, having no speaking talents. Like,
I think he's... Or, they gave him scissor arms, which I think is only for the rock, paper, scissor joke.
Well, and he keeps...
Works.
He shows up and he cuts the air because he's very animated, and then he loses them eventually. Oh, man. I don't know, dude.
Yeah. The end with Meek and what happened, like... Yeah, I accidentally stepped on him. I felt bad, so I've just been carrying him around.
He's not dead, guys.
He's not dead at all.
Korg,
it's just great.
Goddamn, like, Korg should be showing up in every movie from here on out.
So here's the thing. This is what should happen. There's a current run of Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's a fantastic run. Best team of Guardians ever. It's the Guardians you know from the movies. All five of them. Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Rocket, and Groot. And Venom. And The Thing, Ben Grimm. And Angela, who is Thor's Asgardian sister, who, whatever. And Kitty Pryde from X-Men.
I love Kitty Pryde.
Right? Yeah, she's great. Yeah. But the Thing, since he's a part of this universe, and if they don't have rights to Fantastic
Throw Korg
Four,
in that.
Fucking Korg. Korg meets up with Infinity War, he hangs out with the Guardians from now on. Fucking amazing.
I would love it anyway. And like, I don't know, man. Taika Waititi has such a fucking idea and such a visual... Mm-hmm. aspect for comedy that it works, and I would love to see him and James Gunn work together on the next Guardians. Or you know, fucking keep Thor in his wheelhouse. Ooh. He's obviously having a lot of fun with Thor, and he gets the character and he takes it to Thor. Is a, like you said, he's a cool character to watch at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, he was always kind of there and he's interesting because he's tough as the Hulk but not so dumb, but now he's also interesting.
Yeah, they finally found the perfect balance for him of giving him a little bit of dramatic weight to work with, but also giving him the ability to just be fucking silly.
Yeah, because
like, stupid, almost buffoonish. Like
as a
times.
Cognizant god, I would expect somebody to be.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I get it that, like, the Hulk is a regressed mental state, and also he's only always constantly angry, so you're not going to have that. But Thor, as a, like, have fun with it. He is a fucking benevolent being. Nearly no one can touch him. So I really like the touch that they did at the end where he has one eye now.
Yeah.
So, giant spoilers.
I really like that the trailers didn't spoil this. It
not
really
at all.
Threw you off. Because they CG'd the eye in or just didn't CG it up or whatever. But they clearly did two different takes with one with two eyes, one with Thor with one eye. And, you know, this is, again, changes going forward. This is neat. In addition to being a nice homage to Odin, like he's taking over the throne, it works thematically. But, like, it's cool. Like, people get upset with Marvel for not, like, giving consequences to people. That's a consequence. Like,
yeah.
That's a fucking consequence. More than Rhodey losing his legs, which were fixed by Tony Stark's robot
of
machinery,
course.
Like, immediately at the end of Civil War.
Yeah.
This is going to mean something, maybe, going forward. So.
Well, I mean, it's definitely always going to have at least the eye patch now, which is cool.
Yeah.
And again, it's a nice nod to Odin, and it does show that this universe has weight and, you know, things matter. You know, there's skin in this game.
Things
can happen. Captain America can die.
I think it's only going to ramp up from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are approaching Infinity War.
Everybody dies. Everybody dies.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen. Everybody dies, and then somebody gets a hold of the gauntlet at the last minute.
And rewinds.
It rewinds. But wait, something's not quite right. And then that's how they explain different things. Like, oh, Captain America is now a different Captain America because somebody's contract's out. And no.
somebody doesn't want to do this shit anymore.
Fucking Terrence Howard is back as a war machine, you know? They can just do Edward Norton's the Hulk now again. Whatever. Doesn't matter. You can bring in whatever you want, any characters. So, yeah. I also think maybe that they're holding back until Infinity War. By making this fun, easy, light Thor movie, I think Marvel Studios is maybe holding its punches until Infinity War. So maybe they're going a little bit lighter in tone because we are going to get such a dark, dark movie, hopefully, next year. But, man, I just don't know what else I can say about this movie. It's, just the best. Oh, you know what? You know what? We did not talk about the Grandmaster himself, Jeff Goldblum. How have we not talked about Jeff Goldblum yet?
Well, I think you saved some of the best for last.
Man.
So we've had a lot of cameos in the MCU. We've had Benicio Del Toro.
Another cameo, too, in this one that's fantastic as well.
Who else?
Matt Damon playing the Loki actor.
Not only Matt Damon, you have Sam Neill and Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, my God. That's though that said, Laura was like, "Who's the Thor?" I was like, "I don't fucking know."
Oh,
I didn't
hear
know
you
it was
guys.
A Hemsworth.
Yeah, it was
I got
Hemsworth.
Sam Neill right away. I was like, "Oh, from the little."
And
people.
I got fucking Matt Damon. I think the beard throws off the Liam a little bit.
I did not get it with him,
but
yeah,
he's again. They're all so. Everybody in this movie is having so much fucking fun, man.
And it just. The whole reading about this movie, like, the whole nature of it just all seemed very collaborative, open. Like, they got Matt Damon just because Chris Hemsworth was like, well, my brother's going to be Thor in the play, and we'll have Sam Neill because Taika knew Sam, so he's like, who's going to be Loki? I think Taika and Hemsworth were talking. He was like, you want me to call my friend Matt? And he's like, Matt who? He's like, Matt Damon. And he's like, sure, yeah, call Matt Damon. And, like, the next day, Matt Damon showed up just to do it, because why not?
That had to have been, like, one day on the set, and you're in the fucking MCU as, like, this fantastic cameo.
It's so funny. It's so good. That's MCU by far has the best cameos. Like, you really know how to work them in well. Like, you can, DC, Marvel, whatever. I don't think DC's done their cameos very well yet.
No.
They do it much better on the TV side, in the cartoon stuff, but not in...
And I'm excited. I am excited about Justice League. We're going to spin
optimistic. I'm optimistic.
You know, you hear all this fucking shit, and
we liked Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So, and you know what? the best part so far. Dude, fucking, I love Ben Affleck as Batman.
I love Ben Affleck as Matt Damon, too. Yeah. Easily.
No. That's great. I don't know where that came from. No, I love Ben Affleck.
90s Inception.
I love... Ben Affleck is a fucking great Batman. And I really like it. Mm-hmm. And you hear all this shit about him not wanting to do it, and there's this all this fucking weird behind-the-scenes shit of DC fucking with things. And it's like, dude, don't throw away one of the good things you have right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ben Affleck as Batman was similar to when fucking Joker was cast as Heath Ledger. Everybody's like, ooh. What? I remember people were fucking hating on that. And they're like, there's no way this guy's going to fucking do it. Mm. Who the fuck do you know that doesn't love that Heath Ledger Joker performance now?
Sure. Like, I don't think it was. I guess it was. I don't know. Was it talked about?
Yeah. A lot of people were fucking hating on it at first. Yeah.
I was immediately on board. I was like, yeah, I see that. Dope. I get it.
I wasn't either until, like, I saw some of the first on-set photos and, like, really? How fucking jacked he was. And
it was
they
like
went,
that first one in the Dark Knight.
Yeah,
armor.
And when they went with the Dark Knight costume and, like, the smaller bat ears. And, again, they're making it different and unique, but still in the universe. It's fucking great, man. And
yeah.
I hope that they don't lose Affleck, man.
Well, I think everything's riding on how much money it makes and if it's successful, if people like it or not. I think that they're waiting for everything because I think they have Flashpoint coming out next year or real soon, and they're just going to rewrite everything and start again if this doesn't perform the way they want it to, I think. So.
I would like to see him do a Batman Beyond as well. It's going to take a little bit, and it'll be a bit of a side story, but I would like to see a Batman Beyond story.
You know, I was never into Batman Beyond. I think that was one that came from the cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not from comics. That was
it was invented
for WB Saturday morning.
But it worked really fucking well, man.
I never got into it.
I liked Batman Beyond a lot.
I didn't. I'm much more interested in Joss Whedon doing a Batgirl movie. Like,
that'll be awesome.
To me.
That'll be really
especially
awesome.
Especially if they do something like the Killing Joke or something.
And
but
Joss
like,
Whedon did a lot of the...
It probably wouldn't be the Killing Joke.
Justice League, like reshoots and finalizations.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works because Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon have two very different tones.
Yep.
And I hope it doesn't play like Batman v Superman where it's like, oh, you guys are trying to do way too much and it's not blending together. Like, I hope that's not the case with Justice League.
As Avengers showed us, Joss Whedon can do giant theme and ensemble pieces.
Sometimes.
As Avengers Age of Ultron showed us, he can also fail at those.
Yes.
Or not fail, but slip up. And
yes. Yeah. It
not
was
capture
a
the
significant
essence.
Step backward.
So, we'll see. What was your least favorite part of Thor Ragnarok?
With how kind of light the tone was, some of the moments didn't quite land the way they should. Specifically, you bring up, like, the eye thing. And, like, when it happened, like, I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
So he didn't lose his eye.
I guess he's out of an eye now?
No,
sure.
Like, what? Whoa, no, he didn't. Because this movie, clearly, like, we're not doing that in this movie where, like, we're having fun. No. Oh, okay. Huh.
So
and just kind of, like, how quick it was. Like, I don't know. I was like, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. When are you going to... Oh, no, I guess he just doesn't have an eye.
Huh?
Okay. So some of the bigger things just didn't really land. Hela, I agree with you. I love Kate Blanchett's performance. I don't think she was used particularly well.
Yeah, exactly.
Was just an angry, bitter sibling coming back for vengeance. And that
was
it.
She's not...
But she did it well, and she had style and flair. But...
She's not even in half the fucking movie, and she's the big bad.
I hear people saying this is like one of the best Marvel villains, and it pisses me off, because I was like, in a year where we had Michael Keaton as the Vulture and Kurt Russell as Star-Lord's father, like, this is the weakest Marvel villain by far. Like, the emotional resonance in Guardians of the Galaxy affects that entire movie. You cannot have that movie without Kurt Russell.
And that is another great contrast, because you have the father-son aspect, and then, like, the brother-sister thing...
Oh, it goes so quick.
It's like it's only in name, and it's so ham-fisted, especially at the end where she's, like, holding Thor by the neck and she's like, what are you, brother? And it's like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's It's weird. It's the cheesy 80s dialogue. Yeah. I think it's written that way on purpose.
You think? I wonder if it's just like a shortcoming of Taika, just doesn't know how to really handle all of that.
No, I think it's I think it's trying to go for the specific style of the 80s. Like if you go back to any 80s movies, they talk like that. And it is the grave import / high drama in every sentence. Like it's just tweaked to like that little bit cranked up more, you know? But the Odin scene at the beginning too, like that's a big nitpick. Like
When they actually meet Odin?
Like, I don't care. They meet Odin, and then he dies / disappears into yellow dust and whatever. I was not moved or cared at all at that point. And again, like...
I know that's...
I've teared up and cried in several fucking Marvel movies. I fucking cry tears when Captain America jumps on the grenade.
On the grenade, yeah. I know you said this.
I cry tears when he fucking goes in the ocean... And she's giving the call, and she just, like, goes, Steve? And, like, there's nothing, like, a fucking cry. Like, these movies, as base as they can be emotionally, they work on me. This was so fucking cold, and I felt nothing at all, and I was like, oh, okay. Let's
I know that whole thing is, like, they even did reshoots of it. Because if you see in the trailers, it's in a very city area.
Originally, they wanted Odin to be wandering around like a crazy homeless person just talking about the end of the world, but they said it didn't...
It didn't work very well.
It didn't work because it was too sad and depressing. I was like, well, maybe you need that. Mm-hmm. Like, you have no emotional weight when he dies. Like, even his fucking wife, Frigga, had more emotional weight in her death scene than he did. She had, like, a fucking Viking funeral with, like, a glorious, like, nice... song to accompany it with the score, you know?
Yeah.
Odin gets nothing. Like, I don't know. It's as anticlimactic as a death as some of the other ones this year I can bring up, but .
What do you think about the loss of Mjolnir?
Mjolnir. What the fuck was that?
Mjolnir.
Just have a stroke. Kyle, are you okay?
I'm having...
Blink twice.
Mjolnir.
Yes.
Mjolnir.
I think... It's good. I think it went on a high note because that Led Zeppelin, Surtur, Fire, Kingdom scene, I think it showcased Mjolnir in the best way. Like, you had, like, cool badass things, like the shot with it going in the circle, taking everybody out. Fucking great shot. Something you've never seen before. And you also get, like, the comedic, clever bit, like him stopping the dragon by putting it in its mouth.
Yeah.
And telling him to say it. Like, you get the best of Mjolnir.
And also...
It's a perfect swan song. And then...
Doctor Strange's house was my favorite usage of it.
Yes, and
where he
like
just holds his
the
hands
umbrella
out,
and you hear it just going through like 20 walls.
It's because it's in like four different areas of space time, and it's trying to catch up to him.
Yes.
And he's like, "Sorry about that."
Another great cameo. This movie fit in so many little cameos, and that's great. Like, I love that Doctor Strange scene. We didn't even talk about that yet, but that's all brilliant, and it fits in a way like the Falcon does in Ant-Man. When he pops up, like, it fits with the flow of the story. It makes sense. It's not just like, hey, look at these files I have on a computer. Now let's see three different vignettes that clearly have nothing to do with this movie right now.
Thanks, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It makes sense with the flow of the movie. So, like, Doctor Strange would pop up at this time, you know? And it makes sense what he wants and why he's running out of the story
and
so quick.
You know, Loki on Earth. It's going to raise Doctor Strange's suspicion because
he is the protector of the realm now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah.
He staffed some huge magical flags.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was cool stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. That said, you need to see fucking Doctor Strange.
I know.
You're going to love it.
I think it's the only one I still haven't seen for some reason. I think it's
really
even
good.
On Netflix.
It's so good. It is on Netflix.
Tom Hiddleston, of course.
Amazing.
Fucking kills it as Loki.
I love that his whole, like, most of his jokes are just him either getting things thrown at him or him being thrown. Like, I love to get help a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And their whole build-up to that. I love... This is going to turn into the Chris Farley show because I like, this movie just hit me every comedic beat perfectly. I love the story, the backstory Thor is telling of, like, when he was a child and Loki knew his fondness for snakes, so he appeared as a snake. And then when I picked it up, you appeared in human form, said surprise, and you stab me.
Like, yeah.
Just these little things. Like, yeah. It's just really funny.
God, yeah, so I watched. So Taika Waititi, I think, did a. I think it was for. It was on YouTube, but I want to say it was for like L or GQ or something. But he did a whole breakdown of why the Get Help scene works.
Yeah, I saw this too.
Yeah,
where he like John Madden's it and like scribbles on the screen.
And yeah. he talks about why it's funny and what the way that he shot it compared to like how somebody else as a director would shoot it and what he looks for in comedic things as a director. And I was like, that's fucking great. And the way that he does do it, it works. It's a fantastic little fucking scene.
As you said, it's like all about the comedic timing too. It's,
and
it's
having
like
Loki
the way
pop up.
Loki pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like how it doesn't miss a beat. Like it's just right back up real quick, get into it. I think that whole movie has this feel. And that's maybe why some of the big weighty dramatic scenes don't hit as hard.
Sure.
But even though that's so weird, because I think this must be a Marvel thing. Like, they wanted this, because if you saw Hunt for Wilder People, that movie has some fucking dramatic scenes that are, like, really sad, and they do hit you. This one doesn't, and I think maybe that's the Marvel studio, but it is
maybe partially
so quick.
What I love, too, is that, you know, so, like, you have your Iron Man, you have your Captain America. Mm. They're very serious. There are some funny things in them, but for the most part, it's a very serious thing. I like that we're moving Thor more into this Guardians thing where there's a lot of funniness and, you know, serious things happen and we move it along. But at the end of the day, it's like, we're here to have a good time. Let's have a good time. And I like that we're kind of splitting the difference. So. Mm-hmm.
I do too. And if this is the way they want to go now, that's fine.
Sure. Please keep Taika on.
Yeah.
Cause,
oh, my God. And it doesn't even have to be for more Thors. Like, give this guy fucking anything.
Sure,
like,
but I would love to see him do more Thor.
I would love to see him kick off Peyton Reed from the Ant-Man franchise.
Yeah.
And him take over that area.
Yeah.
Because Peyton Reed, I think, is one of those filmmakers that's just, like,
man, we're getting a new Ant-Man soon, too, aren't we?
Middle of the road. Next year.
Next year.
Summer, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'm fucking pumped for that one.
Larry Fishburne as Dr. Goliath / Giant Man.
I fucking love.
That's great.
I loved Ant-Man.
Now we need Keanu in the universe. We got Carrie Ann Moss in the Netflix series. She's in the Marvel universe.
I bet Keanu comes in at some point.
Silver Surfer, motherfucker.
You want him to be Silver Surfer? That'd be huge.
Yeah, if he was Silver Surfer, I'm so fucking down. And if you don't want to go that way, make him Captain Marvel. Like, the Mar-Vell, the person he gets, or who Carol Danvers gets the powers from. Like, he could be the instructor to her. Like, the hero that came before. Or, like, I don't know. I got so many ideas. Make him Reed Richards. Fucking once Fantastic Phase 4 comes together,
it would be a great
and Marvel
Reed
gets Fantastic Four back. Reed Richards.
I would have liked to have seen him as Iron Fist if they'd taken a little more seriously.
Yeah, it would have been earlier in his career, though.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you could always just fucking make Iron Fist old. Like,
you could.
Come into it after he's established. And
good.
Because, man, Keanu loves and is very dedicated to martial arts.
That's true. Okay. I think, maybe you do have to go the martial arts route. I want to think of somebody who would be a good fit for that, but I can't right now.
Keanu,
that's
think
a good one. I think that's a really good
but
fit.
But you kind of, he wouldn't come on for a Netflix series, I feel, especially one like
No. I mean, he kind of already did the Iron Fist, right? That was called 47 Ronin.
Yeah, I know it was terrible, but he was great in it.
Great everything.
Yeah,
you've seen John Wick yet?
No.
Motherfucker.
I know. Neither of them.
Motherfucker.
I know. It's dumb. It's so dumb.
They're so good.
I know. They're both on HBO, too. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Ryan, okay, so out of 1 to 5 Mjolnirs.
Oh, my. You nailed it. That was the best one you've done yet.
What? I know. That was on purpose. What? Yep. What would you rate Thor Ragnarok?
Out of how many?
1 to 5. 5 being best.
So you're going to stick with 5 every single time.
For now. I mean, it's the easiest.
Get weird with it. Give it a 69. Give it an 80.
No, okay. In fact, there's no magical numbers in the Thor universe. 69
is a magical number in every universe.
It is. 1 out of 7. 7's a lucky number. I don't know.
1 out of 9 because there are 9 realms.
There we go.
Guardian legend.
So not even machine. Out of, so on a scale of 0 to 9 realms,
Okay.
What would you give Thor?
An Yggdrasil, the tree of life.
Yggdrasil.
Right? Yggdrasil. I can't pronounce it. I can spell
it's
it. It's
funny
than
that
I
can't do Mjolnir, and you can't do
I can
do
only think of the
Yggdrasil.
Way Hugo Weaving says it as the Red Skull. Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil. Yggdrasil.
I don't know what that was. That was a Hugo Weaving. I think it's like Bella.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, that's better.
You're on the Yggdrasil with Mjolnir.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr.
Anderson. Yes.
No, so, out of 1, 0 to 9
me
realms.
Me too.
What would you give Thor, buddy?
Out of 0 to 9 realms, I give it 8 realms out of 9. I think it's very close to perfect. Like I said, none of the emotional beats really matter much, but I also don't fucking care about Odin at this point or Asgardians. So,
yeah.
Like, I'm just cool to have, like, an 80s chill adventure where we do dope shit and Hulk fights a giant wolf and Scourge has a bunch of shit and, you know, one of them's a Vespa. That's pretty dope. I like that joke.
And
lots of jokes.
And Dust and Roy.
I love it.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it one lower. I give it 7 out of 9.
Okay. That's fair.
It's a fantastic ride.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Marvel movies in a long time.
That's what I was going to ask. Of the 3 Marvel movies that came out this year, is this your favorite?
What else? We had Guardians 2.
Guardians, and then we have Spider-Man Homecoming.
This is easily the best.
I'm not going to include Logan.
No, this is easily the best. It's my favorite. Let me say it that way.
Sure. I'm split. I think Guardians of the Galaxy might be a better movie.
Sure.
I think this
okay.
is going to be the more rewatchable one.
Yeah.
Like, if I have the choice to put Guardians 2 or this one in, I'm going to put this one in because it's just a fucking easy, fun.
It is my complaint. Again, it's that time length thing. I've come down
on
this
a
lot.
I didn't feel it in this
no.
one. This is the one I didn't feel it with.
I did. And by the third act, I was like,
did
okay,
you?
let's get going here.
Man, see, I could have just kept going. Like, as soon as we got giant fucking Surtur, I'm like, oh my god, I hope this movie keeps going for another hour. Like, I'm so
Surtur
down.
Surtur is just
shit.
Fucking done. It's like, oh, here he is for like 2 minutes,
yeah.
And we're done.
I think I'm hoping, because none of these people are getting killed off, I'm hoping it's because they're playing and bringing the villains back. Because they're not going to just, like, rip through these good villains real quick, be one and done. I hope it's because they're going to build their universe of villains a little better.
That'd
this
be tight.
What I'm hoping.
Yeah. I would like to see villains come back,
because
villains come back in the comics.
They do.
And are
like,
still a threat.
The fun thing is, like, well, maybe, like, we don't fucking see Surtur pop up in another Thor movie, but what if the Guardians had to take on Surtur or something?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you make it interesting. Like, oh, Red
totally
Skull,
agree.
But, like, the X-Men have to fight him now, and, like, what are they going to do? Like, that's dope. Like, that's a whole storyline in and of itself.
I like it, man.
So, I don't know. I hope it's not the last we see. That's it.
I agree with you. We have such a great deep well of villains. Let's keep hitting it. So.
Yeah.
Ryan, if people wanted to reach out to us and communicate with us, where would you advise that they do that to?
Well, I would advise them to do that to facebook.com/experiencegrind. This is, Kyle and I check this, like, all the fucking time.
All the fucking time.
You can reach us out there. We'll get back to you really quick.
Almost instantly.
Yeah. That's
unless we don't like you, then we'll probably ignore you.
Plus, we also have, like, a really chill community of, like, great people, too, that you can interact with. Like,
it's been fucking great. It's actually grown fairly into a nice little
it's
area.
It's very welcoming and positive. Like, there's not a bunch of dicks on here, which is great. Like, fucking how many gaming groups can you say that about?
Yeah.
There aren't giant assholes.
Especially if you come in, speaking of assholes, if you come in talking about butts, butts go over really well in our little community.
That's your intro, yeah. Say like, hey, my name is this. Also butt stuff?
Yeah.
And like, you're gonna do well.
People are gonna be like, alright,
yeah,
sure.
Instantly well. One a butt. One a butt. But find us there. Kyle is doing a great job streaming on Twitch. You find him at ExperienceGrind. Is that it?
Nope. twitch.tv/ExperienceGrind.
It is ExperienceGrind, though.
It is. And I would also like, you know, there's something new. I think you and I just decided on this today. But we're gonna aim for at least once a week we stream together as well. It went over really well on our charity stream. I think, you know, we do have great chemistry.
Yeah.
Let's just keep that going. Plus, let's plug and play games together. So
if you have any suggestions, let us know. And also, like, I don't know, times that work for you. I think we're going to try to schedule this so we can let you know when we're doing it.
Yep.
And that way we can tune in. So if you have a time that you, that works,
it'd definitely
let us know,
be afternoon or early evening. But it's going to be really great. I'm looking really forward to beefing that up. You can also find us at Twitter at expgrindpodcast. I primarily kind of run things there. Ryan Moore runs a lot of the Facebook areas. So, you know, reach out to us on any of those. We do have an Instagram. It's kind of not been as active lately because, goddammit, there's just... I wish there was more social media.
Yeah.
As well as other things I had to log into on a daily basis. Because I love logging into things.
Do you?
No, I fucking hate it.
Oh.
It's the fucking worst. It's so stupid.
You're getting, I think you're getting tired. And you're getting
maybe
the same tone for like your sarcastic versus your...
So it's like fucking streaming services. So everybody wants their own streaming service.
Sure.
Fuck you, Fox. Fuck you, FX. Fuck you, Disney. I don't want 1,000 different fucking passwords and shit. How about you all agree to fucking throw things on Netflix or HBO?
Just make your password movies for all of them.
Obviously. It's so fucking asinine. There's so many things.
It is.
I hate it.
You know, I like it because
I hate it.
Give me the, don't give me the shit I don't want. Like, make a Disney thing and make all of the Marvel shit because I'll subscribe to that. Give me, like, one with, like, Asian weird exploitation shit. Like, Tokyo Gore, please, and shit like that. Like, I'll pay for that. Like, give me my niche things.
Give
me
them
my
all.
Channels. And keep your fucking sports, keep your fucking drama, keep your BBC shows. I don't want fucking any of this shit.
Yeah, can,
like, I just want what I want.
You can take those BBC shows and shove them up your ass. We're an NPR family here.
That's right.
Okay.
We don't do that.
We listen to NPR.
We educate.
Yeah. You fucking idiots.
We heal and we listen.
So yeah.
We heal you.
Fucking find us there. We have email and website too. It's somewhere. If you fucking need us, God, just Google Experience Grind. You'll find us somehow.
It's true.
It's
we also
not
have
hard.
An email, too, if you want to email us. ExperienceGrindPodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, that's the one.
I don't check it. Kyle get it. So if you want to just talk some mad shit about me, that's the
please
way to do it.
Those are great.
There you go.
Those come straight to my phone. Just before we wrap up, I found it really funny when we played fucking whatever it was during the stream.
Double Dragon Neon?
No, the Quip one. Quiplash.
Quiplash, yeah.
It was a guaranteed win if anybody made fun of you or I.
Yo, absolutely.
Or especially you and I together. God, they're winning that round. It's a slam dunk. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You won.
Yeah.
That's how
congratulations,
I know, that's how I know we've made it. So we're high five, buddy. It's fucking great. I was like, yeah, fucking make fun of us. And win, because...
If we were smart, we'd have fucking got on that train right away.
Of course, but I
should have been like, Ryan is a doo-doo head.
I didn't want to pander, because I'm not a fucking idiot, and I don't pander to you, please.
But pandering wins sometimes.
Pandering wins all the time. You gotta pander to your crowd. Anyway, speaking of pandering, I love you guys. I really do, even though I tell you to go fuck yourselves and eat shit and finger your own buttholes. I really do love you guys. You're all the best.
Yeah.
I really mean that. So we're going to shut up because this has been pretty good episode length.
Perfect.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And go eat shit, you sons of bitches. Bye, everybody.
Bye.